Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Music Videos, the Music Video Land podcast brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the internet music video database. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, music video news, etc. My name is Adam. I am a member of the IMVDB, and then, of course, with us, as always, from Brooklyn... No, hold on a second. Doug, you are in... Where are you, Doug?
Chelsea.
Okay. Doug is in Chelsea, New York, Manhattan. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam, but it's time you met the real me, filthy.
Damn.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Okay, now you gotta tell us about the real Doug.
The real Doug lives in Chelsea, and he gives a lot of hugs.
By the way, I do know that you live in Chelsea. I was wondering if you're going to say something weird, like maybe Sudbury, Ontario.
Oh shit,
that's right, fucking weird.
Speaking of Sudbury, Ontario, back on the podcast with us after a little hiatus. A Fringe Music Fix is Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you doing and how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm tired. I'm after running my whole electoral campaign there. I was running for prime minister here.
That's right. And I'm very very sorry that Justin Trudeau beat you out. He beat you out by the thinnest of margins.
Yeah. We call him just Justin here on the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adam, so I was just recently in Canada. And got to kind of bask in. Well, I got to see the Blue Jays lose.
Sweet.
But I did get to kind of experience the whole Justin Trudeau frenzy. People are excited about that guy up there.
Yeah, they are. They are pretty happy about that. I guess some of the people are saying he's one of the better looking prime ministers that we've had. He's quite a babe magnet, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so what about just being a babe himself?
He's a bit of a babe himself, I would say. Cool. Definitely.
But he attracts babes, is your point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, both.
It's like a magnet. Magnets can attract other magnets. Doesn't mean it's not a magnet.
Right.
No, right. That's true. I was just looking to clarify.
And I was in Oakville, Ontario with none other than my grandmother, kind of getting her perspective on both, you know, Canadian politics with the Justin Trudeau and a little bit on music videos.
Mm, which nice. What were her thoughts on music videos?
Talk about later with a one of those one name artists that's back with a music video whose name starts with A. Just like Adam and Adam, not Doug. Doug starts with D. Speaking of Canada, you know, when I was up there, one of the things I taught my grandmother is that Toronto is now can be referred to as the Six.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case that comes across in her, you know, daily interactions with people, I want to make sure that she knows that the Toronto can be the Six.
Yeah, if somebody's like, "Where's the Six?" and she says, "I don't know," that's not true because she knows where Toronto is.
Exactly. Yeah, she can see it from her condo,
right.
Actually, on a clear day, you can see pretty far in Canada. It is that whole like Toronto area is remarkably flat. Like you can see all the way to Toronto from across Lake Ontario.
Great visibility in Toronto.
Amazing visibility. But speaking of Toronto, we have Toronto's own Drake in the news
again.
It's
not really again. He's just been in the news since he put out the Hotline Bling video, which now is on Vevo, by the way, folks. You can now watch that video on imvdb.com.
Right.
Hearing about it.
Under a million views or something like
that. Well, it just got put there today, but yeah. And people have already seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe. That's what we don't know. We don't know how many people have seen it. And that's where all the controversy comes from.
But I really, really want to talk about this because, Doug, you sent me this article earlier today. This is October 27th, 2015. This article came out earlier today on NPR's The Record music news. It's like NPR's music news program. And this kind of blew my mind.
Which is surprising that it blew your mind because we essentially speculated that stuff like this could occur. Yeah, and then like, it just like immediately got confirmed for us.
Yeah, I was just not really expecting like our suspicions to be confirmed. And the headline is kind of a tease. It says, Drake's Hotline Bling aims at number one and misses. Why? And in the article, you know, it first of all, it sets it up very nicely by pointing out that Drake really wants a number one single on the Billboard Hot 100. He has never had a hot number one single, which is
insane.
It is insane, yeah. The Hot 100 works in mysterious ways sometimes, right. And I think they're, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, why is that at the top of the charts? And it can be a little bit kind of opaque in that way. But it is kind of crazy as an artist as like influential and as popular as Drake has never had a number one single. And then it goes down in the article to speculate that one of the reasons that Hotline Bling may have not reached the number one is because the music video came out on Apple Music. And as we know, I don't know if it's a matter of months or years ago, the Billboard organization started taking into account video views, music video mm-hmm. views, as part of their charts. And Apple, you know, last week on the podcast we were complaining about the fact that Apple provides all sorts of sort of really inconsequential and kind of nonsensical data like loves and comments and stuff like that on videos, but it doesn't provide views. And, you know, maybe there's a possibility there's some back channel that Apple Music was reporting video views to Billboard to account for the popularity in the charts. And it turns out that they were not doing this. So all those music video views going to Apple Music were essentially meaningless. And the article speculates that, and I think makes a very good case for the fact that the fact that this was on Apple Music was a major handicap and may have kept Drake from having the number one song on the Billboard 100.
Yeah, and we talked about last week how, you know, despite the fact that it premiered on Apple Music, which is an unusual, even still an unusual and infrequent place for a music video to premiere, that he still made a major cultural impact through all the memes and everything. That, I mean, I'm still seeing them every day on Twitter and buying new Drake memes. But yeah, like we talked about how it didn't really impact that, but it clearly has impacted, you know, and this article certainly is making the claim that it impacted something that probably has more like tangible value to it, which is having a number one single. Like being memed to death is tight, but I feel like Drake wasn't like, hey everyone, like get this, like please help me get this, like everyone please help me meme myself isn't something Drake made an Instagram post. But you know, he was like, please help me, you know, get this number, like he's eyeing this number one single specifically, and that's something that Apple Music prevented him potentially from being able to do, which is really fascinating.
It's insane in a way, not because you know I understand that Apple Music is a new platform, and Apple kind of famously is a company that will, you know, kind of try to do the absolute minimum for a version 1.0. So, you know, famously, the initial version of the iPhone didn't have an app store. I mean, it came with just the apps that it came on. I guess the most famous version, you know, famous example of Apple coming out with something that has features held back. But I think, you know, in the case where they were entering a market with Apple Music, you know, it was a really interesting case of, you know, there are, you know, things like Spotify and RDO and all these other, and like, what is it, Google Music, that are already, you know, established products in this space. And, you know, Apple Music brought in a lot of things that were already a part of Spotify, and they held back a lot of things that are currently part of Spotify that they don't have. But they also brought in music videos, mm-hmm. which is something that Spotify and RDO do not have, and I believe Google Music does not have. And that is something that we've talked about many times before, that Apple has always kind of had it as a tag-along thing. And they've always treated it as a tag-along thing. And so they have some feature that no other streaming music service has. They have these music videos. And they touted it a little bit, but they really kind of pushed it into the background. And, you know, when it becomes, you know, push comes to shove, when they really need this, you know, product, you know, feature to shine, when they have an artist like Drake who has really bought all into the Apple platform, premiering, you know, a major music video on Apple Music, all of a sudden, every single view that Drake got out of that on Apple Music, which is really the only place you could watch the video for a solid week and a half, is completely meaningless.
Or, and I'm assuming that it wasn't just that, right? Money is exchanged. Apple Music is, like, I've heard stories of Apple, you know, rumors of Apple Music funding music videos up front, you know, mm-hmm. like putting money into the budgets, not just licensing the content. But even if they're just paying a licensing fee to premiere the video, Drake says in this Instagram post that no accolades, quoting Drake, no accolades really matter to me other than the fact that I have never had a Billboard number one. If I get my first number one during the month of October, it'll be the biggest moment of my career to date. I mean, fucking whatever you got from Apple Music to put your music video there, if it is preventing that, like Drake going on record saying this stuff, that's a big deal. And so, you know, we've always talked about how, you know, the YouTube saved music videos by centralizing them, a large part by centralizing them and bringing them to like high quality to everybody, and making them on demand. But like the fact that YouTube was starting to lose, like Vivo was starting to lose some of these major premieres, like Drake, for example, and no other, like, this is a big argument to turn that around, but like no other company could get Apple Music or could get Billboard to like start to recognize their views also than Apple could. Like if this was just like some, like, you know, this was just like Rolling Stone and saying like their player, and they're like, well, we have 100 million views for this Drake video on our player, Billboard, you should take this into account. I don't think that would ever happen, but Apple Music's view count, since they're already reporting, you know, sales and other stuff, like maybe that can suddenly become part of the equation. It's either that or artists are going to stop premiering on Apple Music.
Do that.
Stop premiering?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because they're still paying money. You know what I mean? They're still paying money. They still want the content. So they're going to have to somehow, if this picks up steam. And, you know, an NPR blog post is more steam than us talking about it on the podcast last week. And so, you know, this could pick up some steam, and then something is going to have to give probably. But it'll be really interesting to kind of track that as it plays out.
And, you know, I think part of it is the fact that, you know, the company behind, Apple Music is obviously Apple. Apple just today had their fourth quarter, I don't know what they call it. I think it's their, hold on a second, their earnings call, where they announced just kind of insane profits and sales of iPhones and, you know, all the other things that they have. And I think there is a little bit of a conflict of interest here between, you know, a service like Apple Music. The incentive for them to provide numbers to the Billboard is kind of low in the grand scheme of things. I mean, they're focused on getting subscribers and getting people, you know, into the Apple ecosystem and having Apple Music, you know, the $10 a month charge be part of their Apple experience, specifically their Apple Music experience. I don't know, you know, what besides, you know, pissing Drake off is really going to get them to go ahead and invest in the infrastructure to be able to hand over, you know, views to Billboard. While YouTube, on the other hand, their incentive is they want to be the platform for video. And
yeah, but I think that, like, in the same way that Drake is putting a lot of his eggs in the Apple basket, it's the other way around too, right? Like, Drake did speak at the Apple's, at the keynote or whatever. What the hell is that thing called?
Keynote.
But like, Apple also invited Drake, and you know they're premiering his videos. Like, that's not coming cheap, and that's not coming without infrastructure. And, you know, if suddenly you lose Drake because of something like this, that's problematic. And that's something that you have to try to address somehow. You can try to address it by just, like, trying to get a different artist, and hopefully that artist doesn't care, and that, you know, or several artists, and some of those artists won't care, or you have to, like, change something on your side of it and start to make your view as valuable as a YouTube view. And right now, like, for a musician, for somebody making music that wants to chart on Billboard, YouTube views are more valuable than any other view on the internet. And, you know, if Apple wants to compete with, you know, in the music video space, they need to make their views, first of all, public, and second of all, matter the same way that they do somehow, in the same way that YouTube does. I mean, YouTube is being able to influence Billboard charts is massive for them, and considering how valuable music content is on that site, it couldn't be bigger. And anyone who wants to actually compete with them in that space without that is, like, significantly behind.
And hopefully this is a little bit of a wake-up call for them because, you know, like I said, they've treated music videos as sort of secondary content. And, you know, in the past week we've had two massive music video stories, song releases that, the next video we're going to talk about had a, you know, music video release at the same time as the, you know, single release, which is something that we're seeing more and more. Where, you know, the artists are trying to combine the impact of the song with the music video. It's an art
and leverage the, and probably leverage what we're talking about, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Part of in that Drake NPR article about Drake is it mentions that, you know, Adele's 100 million views for her video has essentially made it impossible for anyone to, you know, she's going to have this number one single now in a large part because of those views. And so, you know, it becomes part of that story already.
Exactly, yeah. It has become an art form that's no longer kind of on life support. It is a dominant force in what people are listening to and what people are talking about. Mm-hmm. So for Apple to kind of keep it on the wayside and, you know, keep it on the back burner and say, well, you know, we'll have music videos as part of this service that we're, you know, providing to everybody because, you know, iTunes has always had music videos, so why not kind of bring them along for the ride? I think music videos need to be sort of pushed to the forefront when they need to be. If you have a Drake Hotline Bling video, you need to make that experience of watching that video as amazing as you can. The experience of watching that Drake Hotline Bling video was awful compared to just watching a YouTube video. It needs to be a great experience so that you can publish those numbers. I mean, maybe the reason they don't publish the view numbers for the music videos on Apple Music is because they suck. I mean, Apple has been known to bury shitty numbers before.
Right.
It's not really out of character for them. So, you know, I think that they're... If I was an Apple engineer and I was looking at, you know, the infrastructure for Apple Music, I would be scared of the idea of building a YouTube-like infrastructure for just music videos on the service that already needs to serve, you know, audio and, you know, all sorts of other data along with it. So it's a really complicated problem, and I think it's going to be really interesting how that eventually shakes out.
Yeah, that is, like, an interesting perspective to look at it because, like, yeah, it's so easy to be like, well, if you want to make music videos, be YouTube. You know, if you want to have music videos on your service, like, you need to offer every element that YouTube does, including make Billboard consider your numbers the same as, you know, like, record plays. But, like, that's not a game that, like, you signed up for when you wanted to work on Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting.
It really is. And, you know, people who follow Apple may know that one of the areas that Apple has struggled in is those online services. I mean, they've had pretty public failures with services like, you know, all the internet-based iCloud services. These are things that have not really excelled or performed as well as their, you know, hardware. So it is something that I think, you know, for Apple is very daunting. Now, if they're you know, obviously YouTube hosts more than music videos, and if they're just hosting a few music videos, you know, exclusives.
And also only exclusive for a week.
Yeah, only exclusive for a week before they go on Vivo, and which uses YouTube's infrastructure. That's very different, but they still need to make the experience better, which I think is the big thing here. Because so let's talk about Adele Hello, which did not premiere on any sort of goofy platform. It went straight to YouTube, and it is currently sitting at an amazing, basically 100 million views less than a week after it was released, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and it also broke the single day Vivo record, breaking it, taking it from Blank Space
by 7 million views.
Yeah,
I think Blank Space was 20 million, and Hello by Adele was 27. And I think that the core of this is, I think over the past 3 years, maybe we've all forgotten the appeal of Adele. Almost everybody that I know in my family loves Adele and has nothing but amazing things to say about her. From my dad to my aforementioned grandma, to basically everybody I know. And I don't, Doug and Adam, I don't know if it's the same for you guys. Big family Adele supporters?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't think it's like so palpable like you're describing in your family. Mm. But, you know, I feel like if I asked both my parents, like, what do you think about Adele, they'd be like, she's great.
Adam?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's kind of the thing. She kind of transcends ages. And that hiatus was long. So I think that probably impacts the views quite a bit. Just that lull where we didn't have anything from her. And, like, what was she up to? And so, yeah, this was a huge release.
Well, because it was, like, look, she definitely, like... like, it's no secret that people use YouTube to listen to songs. And this song premiered through this video. So if someone just wanted to listen to this song, they would have gone to this video anyway. And maybe not paid attention. But if Adele would have just released this, like, through SoundCloud or through some kind of download link, or through some other means than through a music video, I think it would have been far less accessible as well. And it wouldn't have reached these heights without being in this format. I think a music video is also the easiest way to share music on the internet. You know, videos are much easier to share than just like some SoundCloud file. And people are more likely to play it.
Yeah, and I mean, more people use YouTube than SoundCloud. Like, it's much more accessible. It's an awesome way to premiere a song. I think they should do it more, really.
And it seems so simple, but it really is a genius move because, like I mentioned, you know, my dad and my grandmother love Adele. Mm-hmm. And when I arrived, you know, I went to Canada for the weekend and arrived at my grandmother's place for the weekend. She had already seen the Hello video several times on her iPad, and I had not seen it at all.
It's amazing.
And I very, very much doubt that would have happened if it was like a SoundCloud embed, because everybody knows what YouTube is.
Even if it was a lyric video or a audio video, like, you know, just like an official audio premiere on Vivo, which they do a lot now, where sometimes it'll just be like an album cover and the song, I still think that something like that would have been shared far less because...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The appeal of a music video, like, not only do you get to hear the new Adele song, you get to see Adele, who is, not in everybody's face all the time. She has very private elements of her life. And this allows you to, like, what's Adele look like now? What is she, you know, like, is she sad in this video too? Yes. And, like, what, like... She looks great. Like, she's so powerful and Adele-like. And, like, you know, the things that make her appealing as an artist come through in seeing her in this video as well. And so, you know, these numbers are a result of Adele in the format 100%. And I think that is kind of really important to recognize.
And this does not happen very often. If you look at the top new music videos chart,
it's just like miles away.
Yeah, it's. I literally have never seen this before. "Hello" by Adele is at 99.2 million, and the latest Grimes video is at 735,000. So that's essentially. Adele is 100 times the next most popular video, which is pretty incredible. And I think
the Grimes video also being a track premiere along with a video, so that reinforces the point again.
I was just going to say there was a couple of popular, like we just had a One Direction video drop off the top 10, which premiered last Monday night, and so. And that was at like 7 or 10 million views, so it wasn't such a big drop off for a while. As well as that Weeknd video that we're going to probably talk about in a bit. But nonetheless, like even 10 million views is so many less than 100.
And you know, I think the person who pioneered this is Taylor Swift when she premiered "Shake It Off" along with the video, which was the first. Track off her new album that literally nobody had ever heard. You couldn't really, you know, experience the new song without watching the new video. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this was the exact same way. It's a very targeted kind of 1-2 punch. So the video is directed by Xavier Dolan, which we don't have a lot of credits for, but he's a Canadian director. Lots of great Canadian directors out there, including Director X. And many other directors that
for Director X is I'm glad that's the one we mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I was just mentioning, you know, anyway, I'll probably cut that out.
No, it's fine.
So the video is interesting in a few ways and unique in a few ways. Number one is that it is shot, but colored in this kind of sepia tone color.
I think it's shot on an IMAX camera.
Yeah, there's definitely some film grain in there.
I think it's the first music video ever shot on an IMAX camera.
Really?
It's a video shot on IMAX. Let's Google this.
Yeah.
The first music video shot in IMAX is Adele's. Hmm. So, interesting. Partially shot. I guess not the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I'm not entirely sure... why it was shot.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Adele is... I mean, this is a very simple video if we were to describe it, you know, in terms where we were just evaluating a video on its merits. The video is Adele kind of hanging out in the country, I suppose. It's the fall. The leaves are falling off the trees. She's kind of bundled up in a coat. And she's singing, and it's intercut with shots of her and her kind of memories of her boyfriend that things turned sour with. The actor is Tristan Wilds, who is African American, which made, you know, I feel like in the U.S. we've been dealing with sort of interracial relationships through cereal commercials. For about 3 years, so it feels utterly unshocking, which is great for an Adele video to have sort of interracial relationship. Since we've been seeing people, you know, lose their shit over people, you know, families like pouring bowls of checks out in the morning with, you know.
Yeah, it's like, how dare two people of different races eat Cheerios together?
Exactly, yeah. Like, we had that fight a long time ago, and I'm not
really sure. 3 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Over, like, a Cheerios commercial, and everybody was like, I can't believe we're even having these conversations.
So I know, what is happening? What are we doing?
So to see this, it is like, oh, well, you know, the guys, you know, it's like the Black James Bond. It's like, I think everybody expects everybody to like lose their shit over like, oh my God, the Black James Bond.
I didn't even realize it was a thing that people were like pointing out as being
Yeah, people have been definitely been pointing it out that you know, that it is an interesting aspect to the video. But I don't think it really has been controversial. And like I said, because we you know, this has been in the national conversation for quite some time.
Well, and also because there's nothing controversial about it. Like,
right.
Whether or not it's been like discussed, it's like not a thing that has a controversy. What's really controversial is that they decided to use an IMAX camera on a video that most people are watching on their iPhones.
Yeah. and also, so, you know, evaluating this video on its merits, first of all, I don't know if you guys have noticed that Adele loves abandoned buildings. That is sort of a thing with her. Rolling in the Deep is her highest rated video, or highest viewed video.
Not for long, I believe.
Nah, not for long, but... there, you know, there are two things that Adele really loves, or people that direct Adele really love. Abandoned buildings, which can be seen in Rolling in the Deep, where Adele is in this abandoned building and all the glasses of water are vibrating around her Jurassic Park style, directed by Sam Brown. And also these monochromatic videos, which in the style of Someone Like You by Jake Nava. So this kind of combines those two. Someone Like You is entirely black and white, and this is sepia tone. But also, I felt like there was... Like, I watched this video several times, and I feel like there's a little bit of a lack of a narrative heft to it that could have been exploited. You get a lot of, like, Adele point-of-view shots of her, you know, her boyfriend or maybe fiancé or whatever. We really don't know. But none of their interactions really... build anything. Basically, for like the first half of the song, he's kind of like talking to her over the song, which I found relatively distracting.
Yeah, me too. I think though that, you know, like any issues that you have with this video are never going to be addressed because it got to 100 million views in like 18 minutes, and so. Everyone who looks at this video and everything in the video, it's going to be looked at as a success. Mm-hmm. You're going to see every female pop star now shoot their music video on an IMAX camera because it worked for Adele. Fun fact about Adele, Adam Alexander follows her on Twitter.
I do, absolutely.
Does she post anything? I thought she didn't really post that much. Like once a month, kind of.
It's just, you know... Mm-hmm. Release.
She's tweeted 226 times since 2010.
And I still like that. If you go on her Spotify profile, on the right hand side, it says related artist, and the number one related artist is Duffy. and if
nailed it.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember in 2008 when Adele 19 came out. Duffy and Adele were sort of like lumped together, like, oh, here are the two new singers. And Duffy just massively tanked, which I'm a little upset about. And Adele has of course soared to amazing heights. That's the other thing about Adele that I find interesting, that this sticking to this, I don't know if it'll be a trilogy or if she's going to be releasing an album at 45 called 45. Hmm. But every time she releases an album, the title is her age. And it kind of feels a little bit like the Kanye West trilogy. What was the first one?
College Dropout.
College Dropout, then Late Registration, then Graduation. And then he kind of branched off from there.
Yeah, the next one was supposed to be called Good Ass Job. But then he didn't call it Good Ass Job.
Which I'm thankful for. that would have been, I think Kanye West's career would have taken a different
job. I think he'd been alright.
Yeah, he probably would have been alright, yeah.
He'd been fine.
But anyway, Adele, in terms of her, you know, whole, you know, visual package, definitely knows what she's doing. And she's an artist that markets herself extremely well. But I do like her wardrobe in this video, which I don't know if you guys noticed is basic. I mean, her makeup is flawless because she's being shot with an IMAX camera from about a 2 foot, you know, a 1 foot range.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no real reason.
I'd love to see, like, because the only thing I've seen, I sent you guys in Skype is a tweet from the IMAX Twitter account saying, like, the first IMAX music video just premiered. Mm-hmm. Hooray. Like, nobody's justified it.
Yeah, nobody's like, we gotta have it. Yeah, we gotta have those leaves falling around in IMAX. Like, a 1080p would have been perfectly.
It's like, I heard that, like, you can only shoot, you can only get this color if you shoot IMAX.
Yeah.
I know. Nothing above 1080p is necessary. 2K, 4K, IMAX, take it easy.
I don't really like the color of this. Does anybody like the color of this video?
Instagram users.
I don't mind it. It's alright.
Adam Alexander, no opinion.
I have one, it's alright. That's my opinion. It doesn't irk me. It's good. It works. It's fine. It's not amazing.
But my favorite thing is that her wardrobe is this crazy fur coat, and then underneath it she's got like a flannel shirt on. Definitely true to Adele.
Yeah.
Nice choice, Adele.
And now if you're listening, nice.
Yeah. Adele is definitely, well, she's very, I think what people love her about her is she's very
indie,
folksy, down to earth. She may be listening to this podcast.
I mean, this is a folksy ass podcast.
This is a very folksy podcast. Where we talk about music videos. Mm-hmm. Man, those fake eyelashes, she's really gone all out here. And it's interesting, I went back and watched some of her older videos from the 21 album era, and man, she looks young, a lot younger than I remember her. Like, if you watch her in the Rumor Has It video, she looks very young, is all I'm going to say.
Have you guys ever seen the 21 Vine meme?
No.
21, it goes like that. It's like this guy, and he says to his little brother, he's like, you're stupid. He's like, no, I'm not. He's like, what's 9 plus 10? And he goes, 21. And he confirms that, I guess, maybe he's stupid. That's what he
thinks. But you guys have seen the Rolling in the Deep video, right?
Yeah.
Sam Brown video. I would encourage everybody to kind of revisit that and compare and contrast with this current video, because Adele looks super young in that video. She looks like, it's very, very noticeable. If you're like wondering, like, oh, what's different with Adele this time? She has aged, you know, 4 years and definitely looks a lot older. Mm. Not in a bad way, but like she looks young, young, young in this video.
In Rolling in the Deep.
In Rolling in the Deep, yeah. And I don't know, she may have shed all of this. I mean, Rolling in the Deep is this very like conceptually deep video where you've got a lot of different elements going on. And maybe and Adele has essentially stripped, and Xavier Dolan has stripped all of those away for Hello. And maybe that's a sign of what's to come with 25.
We'll see.
Hmm.
Hang on one second. I heard a thud. Just hang on one second.
Sure. what's the over under on Doug being murdered?
Right now, this moment?
Yeah.
That's scary. That would be a weird lead in to the episode.
Hmm. The sounds of Doug being murdered leading into the. Doug Coyotes, being murdered?
Coyotes got out, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
That's a good question.
I think we should talk about, because Halloween's coming up, I think we should talk about Lazy Boy Empire, Vampire by Lazy Boy Empire. What do you think?
I think it's an excellent idea. Directed by our good friend Isaac Ravishankara and starring
our other good friend
Dugan O'Neill.
That's it.
Doug, you want to take this through this video?
Sure. So in this video, Dugan O'Neill, director and often on-screen performer, is a vampire. He's a very very cool dressed vampire with
dressed like Steve Jobs, basically.
High jeans and a black tucked-in shirt and just cool as can be. And he dances and he plays a saxophone and he kidnaps people and sucks their blood while dancing and playing the saxophone. And throughout the video, he's, you know, finding people on the street, getting them into his van, and then sucking their blood at in a warehouse, and he eventually finds a lady played by Lindsay Ames, lady vampire, also up to the same kind of stuff, and they end up doing it together by the end, dancing and sucking blood. And if you look at them, you know, the bodies start to kind of accumulate in this warehouse. If you look at some of the folks, you will notice other music video directors, like Ellis Ball, for example, leaned against the wall in the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you look at like 333, for example, up in the back wall on the right, that's Ellis Ball.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Big shout outs. And yeah, I can't tell who the other folks are, but I'm sure we'd recognize them if we tried.
Yeah.
But this is a spooky video. Halloween, like I said, is Saturday.
Hmm.
And this is a spooky video. It's got vampires, it's got people dying and getting blood sucked. But it's also got a lot of dancing and fun, which is also a major element of Halloween.
Hmm.
And so it's got them both. And this is a very gif-able music video. If you wanted to make gifs, this is a good one. Because Dugan's got some moves.
He has some major moves. Yeah, I agree. And it has those kind of little Dugan O'Neill touches. And I believe Isaac's touches as well. Or, like, at the beginning, he's listening to music, but he's listening to, like, a first-generation iPod.
Literal first-generation iPod. Specific. I remember seeing Isaac sourcing some of the props for this video.
Yeah, I saw.
And he was looking specifically for this. So,
yeah.
And as well as, the Ghetto Blaster boombox that they have in the warehouse. But he was looking specifically for first-gen iPod. So, I really love that.
I never had a first generation iPod. I had the second generation, I believe.
I had the first one that played video.
Oh, that's like fourth generation, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
I was resistant at first.
Yeah. But it is very at the scene or the whatever room they have where they're putting all the bodies, and really there's no rhyme or reason to the way they're arranging the bodies. They're just sort of throwing them in there. It is very Dexter-esque with the, with all the plastic sheets and things. But the saxophone just adds an amazing element of humor to this.
And it's in the song, it's very noticeable in the song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It goes perfectly with the song. This is a really, I love this video so much.
It's super fun.
It's perfect. I mean, Dugan O'Neill is kind of the only person who can play this in my mind.
Yeah, right.
He does an amazing job of it. Yeah.
And I love, it just feels like they just made the idea happen type of a thing. You know, it was an idea that had to happen, and the elements, it feels like the kind of idea that is going to fall in place as soon as they have the idea.
Right.
And the fact that they're sourcing this iPod. And when I saw him ask for it on Facebook, I'm like, he's never gonna find it. He's never gonna find this. Who the fuck has one of those?
Yeah.
And why? And not only does he have one, it clearly is working.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
He
which is
loaded
crazy.
This song on there. And yeah.
Adam, which iPod did you get?
I only had one, but I had, I'm not sure what gen, but I had I had a 160 gig one. It was huge.
Oh yeah. The bars.
It was a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bar. It was a heavy thing. I got some cardio every time I lugged that thing around. So I'm just thinking about Halloween themed videos. We're a little light this year on Halloween themed videos.
Yeah,
very many.
Last year there was a bunch. There was that great Brandon Dermer one with Amanda Cerny. That one, I can't remember who it was for, but she was like the babysitter and kept killing all those guys. There were some good ones. I did want to ask you guys if you, if any of you guys had a music video themed Halloween costume. We got Halloween coming up. Is anyone going to dress up as something this Halloween? Is it going to be music video themed?
That's an excellent question, Doug. The one music video Halloween costume that I feel like, I think was in play last year, but I honestly can't remember. I don't really remember Halloween last year for some reason. That I feel like would be a pretty interesting and recognizable costume is the Maddie Ziegler chandelier costume.
Well, yeah, if you remember, it was definitely in play. It was that SNL sketch with Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it was great. Like, that was a big one. That was like a... I think that was pretty frequent. I think you could still do that this year because the third video of that trilogy came out in 2015. So I think it still plays. Adam Alexander, you have any music video themed Halloween?
I would probably do the same, but since I would do the Maddie too, but I got the full beard going, so I would do like a Shia LaBeouf combo Maddie Ziegler from Elastic Heart. It would be like the whole video in one package.
Adam Fairholme and I were talking about this a little bit last night. I think I'm going to go I'm going to go as Psy, but just play it like I think this like a Psy reference is now and relevant. Like not act like it's a 3-year-old reference, but go as Psy now and like act like this is new to me, and I think that would be great.
Have you seen this video? Like you could just like walk around.
Yeah, the guy
and, like,
from this video, I just like go around and do the horse dance all night and like dance around. I think that would be great. I think that's my plan.
The other thing that I was thinking is, and I don't know if this is so immediately recognizable. I think it's really hard to come up with an immediately recognizable Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. But I watched the Bad Blood. Video again, the Joseph Klein Bad Blood video, to see if there was anything that like anybody would recognize as being from that video. I mean, it won best video of the year. I mean, it's done 600 million views. Although Adele just did a sixth of that in less than a week. But I can't really like find anything like you would go around and be like, oh yeah, I remember the Bad Blood video. I mean, I can't really like picture going to somebody up to somebody at a party and then be like, oh yeah, the Bad Blood video. It's so hard to like actually get something that is like visually recognizable.
Yeah, no, I know. I do think chandelier would be good. I was trying to look for something in the Hotline Bling video.
Yeah, and I mean, if you wore the outfit and did the dance, people would get it.
Right? Yeah, right. I couldn't just go in like Timberland boots and a puffy red jacket and be like, hello. You know? I'd have to do like the.
You'd have to do the dance, right?
Yeah, which I do on a regular basis anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, why would you not? I mean, I feel like the other one is possibly would be, I know it's always a very popular joke that girls like to go in revealing Halloween costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like something from the Anaconda video.
Yeah, that'd maybe be funny.
Slightly recognizable. It and maybe not. I mean, I'm not really sure. Even like watching them, they're just basically wearing like black bikinis. But I feel like anything that would be more recognizable would be way too cold to wear anywhere, or way too like crazy to wear anywhere. But I mean, maybe if you really want to do it, go for it.
I'm gonna go really obscure, and I'm just gonna dress as Mark Classfield.
Man, you nailed it.
Think about it.
Absolutely.
People are like, what are you? I'm Mark Classfield. I'm, you know, famous music video director, part of the Billion View Club. Ever heard of me? Mark Classfield.
Damn. I think people would be absolutely 100% into that.
So.
But as I look at, like, you know, the top music videos of the year, it's tough to really pick at anything that's very iconic. I mean, the closest thing, like, so you look at the top music videos of 2015 so far, one of them is Elastic Heart, but that kind of, the costume in there, the Maddie Ziegler costume, goes back to 2014, so it's not really applicable there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's a little far back.
One of them is, you know, Sugar, which has all of them just, you know, wearing tuxedos, which is, you know, not very recognizable.
Mm-hmm. How about this? You could go as The Weeknd. Like, if you wore your hair, somehow, like, emulated The Weeknd's hair, mm-hmm. I think you could go as The Weeknd. And theoretically, you could be The Weeknd from any of his videos, because he just is himself in them. How about that? Does that count? Is that a music video thing?
It would be a music video costume you'd explain all night. I think
people would know you're The Weeknd.
Oh, you would absolutely, people would absolutely know you at the weekend, yeah. But from what video is the question?
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, wait, is that from The Hills remix? It's like, no. This is, this is me from Love Me Harder.
And I feel like the one music video that if it was much more popular might be a good music video costume reference is the Pretty Girls video by Britney Spears featuring Iggy Azalea.
Nice.
But I just don't think that, I mean, even though it has 121 million views, I don't think people would really actually know that. So that's completely lost. So okay. Brittany, you did it to us again. Sorry.
You fucking blew it, Britt.
You mentioned the Weeknd. You want to talk about The Hills remix?
Yeah, we should. We just chat a little bit about it.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? I mean, honestly, why not?
Why not? And that's also the song that I quoted at the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
So, if I can. So, here's this video, directed by Nabil. This is the remix of The Hills, which is a very popular song by The Weeknd. This one features Eminem, everyone's favorite rapper, especially Adam Fairholmes.
Yeah, it's a great addition to The Hills.
From what I can tell, this is essentially just the Eminem verse. Like, they didn't play the whole song and then add Eminem to it. They, like, have the chorus and the Eminem verse. It's only, like, a 2-minute video. And the whole video is just... So it's a 360 VR video that you can play on, you know, YouTube's cool little draggy player on your browser. Or if you have the YouTube app, you can do that magic window thingy where you fly it around. Fly your phone around and look like you're in the space. But I don't know about you guys, but
I don't like these.
I don't like them at all.
Adam Farrell, how do you feel about these 360 virtual experience videos?
Well, before I say anything about how much if I like them or not, I would like to say I had a lot of technical trouble playing this video. Any time I moved the arrows, the song completely stopped.
Wait, you don't click the arrows?
Oh no! I had the arrows on my keyboard working.
Oh, yeah. Did you try to just like grab within the space?
Yeah, I tried everything, and every time I moved anything, the song just completely stopped. And I was getting all sorts of like frames in the wrong places. It was a bit of a mess. But. I mean, I can see this being cool in another 2 or 3 years. I think that we're seeing like the very, very beginning of experimentation of this. I can see this being very cool, especially if there is something that's widespread where you can... Like I've done... Have you guys done Oculus Rift?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the virtual reality glasses. It's a company called Oculus Rift that was bought by Facebook. And you put those glasses on and then you're in the virtual reality world. And
there are all sorts of these companies. You know, Chris Milk has one called Verse that's got like Tim and Eric and David Wilson and all of these folks signed to it. I do think that if this technology is going to be adopted by a lot of folks, that music videos are going to be the vessel. Any normal 360 music video without The Weeknd attached to it isn't going to get a million views in a week. This is because of the artist, and people are, you know, some of the people who watch this video are probably using this technology for the first time. But so far it sucks. This shit is not exciting at all. This is like, you can like, you're too aware of what's happening. You know that like, The Weeknd has some weird rig around his waist with 45 GoPros around it. They try to do some cool stuff, but the effects end up looking really janky for a lot of it. The whole thing kind of looks like really janky, and it's like a little. The video itself doesn't have a lot going on. It has a lot of cool looking elements. But like, there's no real narrative or no explanation on why anything is happening. It's just The Weeknd walking around explosions while Eminem.
Go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, while most of these do suck, there was one that was released earlier this year. Actually, there were a couple that I kind of liked, but the one that comes to mind was the Square Pusher animated one for Store eGlass. That one was kind of cool. It was like very stylized, colorful animation, and it kind of worked in that the concept sort of contributed nicely to being able to interact with it, whereas this one just feels like, yeah, so what? I can watch a car explode from every angle as the
weekend. It also added some interesting elements to the Ian Perlman video that we had him on, that we talked to him about a little bit. You know, it added some, you know, that was a really energetic video, and you felt like you could be a little bit part of that energy. But
is that
like
the Foles one, Doug? There was a Foles one.
No,
that was
the Foles
cool
one
too.
Is also Nabil. Nabil is doing a ton of these now.
That one was better, though.
Nabil is really buying into this. And honestly, I think he's doing it better than most people doing this stuff. But, like, the technology is still broken. Like, if you look at some of the shots where you can see the ground, there's, like, some weird little, like, dead space. Like, the technology really isn't fully there yet. And nobody's really, like, bringing great ideas to it yet either.
Yeah, I think we've yet to see the video that really catapults this technology to something that everybody's really interested in. I think that, you know, for me, you know, somebody who you know, and us, who are people that should be on top of this and, you know, should know exactly what to do and really enjoy the experience, it's tough to really fully immerse yourself and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really needs to be... maybe it's something like 3D, which, you know, is something that we enjoy once in a while. Like, I'll see a 3D movie maybe twice a year and enjoy it, but it's not something that's, you know, it's not something where I need to see something 3D every time.
I don't even, to be honest, enjoy that. Gravity was
nor do I.
The Gravity was the only film that I felt like I got something from in 3D.
Oh, you gotta see Everest in 3D. Oh, man, it was so good.
Yeah, but is Everest a real movie?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a real movie, yeah. It's got Josh Brolin in it.
Oh, that movie. I don't know what it is. I said that movie like I did. Yeah. I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's a real movie.
Okay.
But I feel like we're waiting for the, you know, there's, if we go back to Apple, there's always the idea of what they call the killer app. And when you're launching a platform, you need what's called the killer app, the thing that people just can't live without. That is really the like pure example of why this technology needs to exist, and I don't think we really see that yet. I mean, this comes close. I think of a lot of the videos. You know, this has the combination of a really popular artist. I don't understand why Eminem needs to have a verse on this, but this comes close to having a popular artist with some interesting and cool visuals that is kind of fun to kind of float around.
And a director who could do something interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Nabil is you know, the best of the best in terms of directors. So he's going to do something interesting. And it is interesting. I just think that maybe his vision is advanced of the current technology and people's ability to view it. But maybe this will be looked on in 5 or 10 years as, you know, an early version of something that is, you know, visionary for what we want to do with this platform. But I just don't.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. I haven't been convinced by it yet.
Yeah.
But I you know, I'm not ruling out that I won't eventually. Do we have time for another one? What do you think?
Oh, I think we do.
Which one?
We should squeeze in the shoes.
I was thinking either Mo or ELO.
Yeah, man, it's tough. All three are good.
This is a really good week for videos. All of these, I think, are worthy.
I'm sweating here, boys. I can't handle the pressure of this decision.
Adam, you like the Mo video, right? You like Kamikaze?
I do. I like the Mo video a lot, too.
So let's talk about that. This is Mo Kamikaze, which is her fantastic new single. That has gotten a video by Truman and Cooper. So, Adam, I saw you posting about this video earlier today. What do you like about this?
Well, I mean, it's kind of got the sort of the trashy kind of stylistic imagery that we're used to seeing from Mo. She's always sort of styled in that same kind of way where, you know, they're just, it's Mo and she's hanging out with this group of kids, and they're mostly male, but there's a couple females mixed in there as well. And they're kind of just like raising shit. They're just like, but kind of like doing some crazy shit on cars that looks really cool that I would never do. They're like riding on the roofs of cars. It's insane. And they're, you know, throwing beer bottles. And then there's, of course, like we get the cool kind of the cuts to the choreographed dance, which is basically just one move from what I can tell.
It's such a good move, though.
But it looks really cool. I think I could learn that move.
I've been practicing all night. This move is the whole reason. Truman and Cooper are fantastic directors. The whole reason I put this video on this list is this knee arm move that she does.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the thing that I feel with this video is that, like, you've got these videos where the performer is just kind of like hanging out with some people, and sometimes it feels kind of forced and stuff, but you really genuinely feel that she's just like hanging out with these people that she knows, and that it just feels kind of genuine in a way. And it's really a really easy buy-in for me, anyway. Like, it just seems
these are her real friends. She really knows these folks.
She could. I mean, it feels trashy, like that.
Though. I would call her style, like in this thumbnail, more normcore.
It's like dumpster chic. I would call it.
Like this Nike sports bra and the shoes she's wearing. That feels right out of the normcore playbook.
I don't know. I feel like this is much more out of the. I mean. I feel like you couldn't have this video without MIA, right?
Yeah, it does. I was thinking of MIA when I watched it. Absolutely.
I mean, this is almost, as I was watching this, I almost thought this is an homage to MIA's Bad Girls video.
It's definitely got some of those elements for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it has those. I mean, this is Eastern European instead of Middle Eastern.
And she feels more a part of this group. And, like, MIA felt like somebody like going to a dangerous or like crazy location alone that existed already. Like this video feels like a group of people going to like a desolate location together.
Yeah. And she even puts in those elements, that I think may be direct references to the NBA Bad Girls video, of, I don't know what really you'd call it. Maybe, Middle Eastern culture or Hebrew culture, or it's kind of tough to describe, but if you watch the video, you'll be able to pick out those elements that MIA directly plays with in the Bad Girls video that Mo is absolutely playing with in the Kamikaze video.
But that stuff also, I feel like, could be coming from the song, because the song has that feel as well. You could be right, but Truman Cooper's work to date to me has seemed really, really unique. It would just seem, and maybe I'm wrong, that like it would seem unusual to me if they would be doing like an homage thing intentionally, directly.
I mean, there's some different elements of it, but I mean, there are very similar elements to this.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's hard to deny the similarities. Like, I certainly couldn't. I can't push back against those at all.
Yeah, I mean, the video does, you know, for the second half, center around car tricks by a group of, you know, disaffected youth in a, you know, sort of
desert,
maybe, you know, either a war-torn or impoverished region.
There's horses, but this is like this has got like a little bit more kind of like Tumblr aesthetic in the styling of it. The horse has like neon lights on it. That dude has that like crazy gold thing on his face. I definitely, you know, pick up on the similarities, but there is a lot of like, like new stuff.
And I'm not saying that, like, you know, Truman and Cooper or Mo like is plagiarizing, you know, one of the most famous videos of the last 10 years. I think that it is an homage to the spirit of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're right. There is a difference. Do you guys know where Mo is from?
Yeah, I do, but I can't. It's Scandinavian.
I believe it's somewhere in Eastern. Eastern European. So she does feel like she's more part of this environment. But it is interesting to think of, you know, the fact that Kamikaze is her first single and her first video after the, you know, the insane mega hit that Lean On Me was, that basically introduced her to all of America through an insanely popular single over the summer.
So, we've known about her for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about her videos for a while. We've been making them IMDb picks for months and years. But this is the first one after she's actually had some worldwide exposure.
Mm-hmm. Moa's from Denmark.
Yeah, in the video, what's depicted, you know, is not Denmark, as far as I know. This feels much more Eastern European, like Ukrainian or something of that nature. So I'm not entirely sure, but it has the same feeling of Mo going into, you know, another environment and existing in there as an anomaly, as MIA did in the Batgirls video.
Yeah, totally. I just Googled Denmark and looked and then clicked images and it doesn't look anything like what this video looks like. It looks a lot more vibrant. There looks like to be a lot more water, bright colors.
Yeah, and I mean, there are locations in this video that I could have sworn are in the, I can never remember how to pronounce her name, Gefaffelstein, Gold video.
So Pitchfork claims that this Kamikaze video was shot in Kiev, Ukraine. So you hit it right on the nose there, Adam. I think you mentioned Ukraine. So, yeah.
Did you mention Ukraine, Adam?
I think you did. Yeah.
Holy shit.
he knows Europe.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find... you guys remember the Gold video?
Yeah.
It's not Gold, but it's the one where...
Yeah, yeah. No, it is called Gold, I think.
And it's by Gefaffelstein.
The Fleur Emanuel one.
Exactly, yeah. Let me find that real quick.
Michael Reagan shot it.
Because I feel like in that video, you see these exact same buildings in the background.
Interesting.
The Hater Glory video, excuse me.
Yeah, right, you're right. It's not called Gold. I said it was.
And I meant to check this before we recorded this, but... I feel like it is either very close to or is the same location.
It was actually shot in L.A.
Yeah, which is weird. I was completely wrong on that. But anyway, it has the same spirit to it, essentially.
Who's been doing the dance move this whole time? Me.
Doug, do you have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or something?
What's that?
Do you have a Fitbit?
Apple Watch, baby.
Have you ever seen Apple Watch?
No, I haven't. But have you seen that Jeb Bush line?
Oh no, where he's like, yeah. He's like, I know, I have technology.
Apple Watch, baby. MacBook.
I got on a flight from Newark to Raleigh-Durham yesterday, and I could have sworn the guy in the front seat was Jeb Bush.
Oh, man. I'm sure he's flying private right now.
Yeah, well, no, I think he's pretty close to commercial.
I keep seeing Jeb Bush every fucking day, I think, and it just ends up being some dad. Like, is it Jeb Bush? Oh no, just some lost dad.
Yeah,
thought that was Jeb Bush, but it's a lost dad. Yeah, I get that every time I'm walking down a road.
Will this be our second dad related title, The Lost Dads?
Potentially, if we're lucky.
And then just really quickly, I just want to mention that When I Was a Boy by Electric Light Orchestra. Is a beautiful video by Warren Fu. It is just incredible. And as somebody who, like, my dad and uncle are huge fans of Electric Light Orchestra, and I kind of grew up listening to Electric Light Orchestra. This is a song, When I Was a Boy, off of their upcoming album, Jeff Lynne's ELO, Alone in the Universe. Really neat to see, like, Warren Fu directing a video for them. I thought that was a really fascinating combination, and resulted in a really fascinating video. I thought that this was a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah. And we might as well just say the Shoes Submarine is also an insanely stylish video. Like, mm-hmm. the two videos that Aaron ended up not making the cut are definitely ones to watch.
Adam, you got any other recommendations?
I get confused about kind of the releases that what week we're looking at here. So I don't know which ones we're supposed to talk about right now.
Just whatever's on your heart.
Yeah, whatever is. Well, what are you watching right now, Adam?
Well, I don't know. Like, I thought for sure we were gonna hit up the Grimes one and fight about that one again, but that one didn't make the roster.
No, go listen to the last time we talked about a Grimes video if you want to know how that conversation
was. It was nasty. There was the bloodshed.
It would have been the same thing.
I saw bad feelings from that. Yeah.
I don't know, but there's been lots of good ones today, but none are coming to mind other than the Blood Orange video. Yeah, was really
the Blood
cool.
Orange one is very cool too.
And who knew who directed that?
Dev Hines.
Nice.
I'm still doing this dance, you guys.
It's an amazing dance. I really feel like we should all go somewhere, maybe like Denny's in Ohio, and then all do the dance together.
I love the idea of if the three of us were just in some place that's just playing music, or maybe this song just like suddenly came on, and then the three of us just got up, stone face, and just
such a catchy song
with our little knees, and it would be so cool. God, I'd never be that cool, but
Doug, we are that cool. Adam, we're that cool, right?
I think we are.
We're not as cool as this group of people in this Dev Hines video, though.
No way.
Especially the shot that's in the screenshot where they're like walking towards the camera keeps moving backwards, and then they just turn around and walk away. Fuck, these people are cool. It's upsetting.
It really is. Well, it is upsetting that we've come to the end of another podcast, you guys.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset by that too.
Doug, Adam, thank you for joining us. Joining for me.
Thank you for joining us.
Everybody, thank you for everything, honestly, really. This has been a really exciting week for music videos, so this is one of those podcasts where we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. So if you want to find out more links and actually watch the music videos that we're talking about, you can go to imvdb.com/podcasts, and this is episode 172. And then other than that, we will see you next week.